The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Gittin has been sponsored by our good friend and loyal Talmid of the Daf Yomi, Mr. Haimi Dana, and his dear wife, Hashem Shmehem V'Hayim. He has dedicated this Masechet according to the following principle. Our rabbis tell us that when you learn something, it can avert that item from happening. So we'd like to learn the Masechet Gittin, so it will remain in the theory of learning and never come to fruition in actuality, and therefore it should be blessed, him and his dear wife, and all of Klal Yisrael, with Shalom Bayit, and Hatzlachan Harvacha, Bechol Ma'aseh Yedehem. Amen. Daf Pechet. Today's daf has been studied in Nishmat Mor Zekeni, Yosef Ben Sara, the Marat Zekenati, Yafa Bat Sara, the Babaham Ben Esther, Wachashem Tenechem Began Ayedin. Amen. Today's daf has been studied for Asher Imam, Moshe Medina, Sara Rochama Bat Rachel, and Sara Bat Rachel. In Arifan Lahem. אין הרפאה לפת הנפש ולפת הגוף ולפועתם קרבה לבו וכן ירסו ונאמר אמן. Begin today's daf on Pezayin Amud Bet, starting from the Gemara, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines from the bottom. We learned in the beginning of our Mishnah that if a person wrote a get on two sides of the page, which means he wrote the get on the right side and he finished it on the left side, on the column over there, on the left column, and the Eidim signed underneath the left column. That was the first case in the Mishnah. Shiyir mikset get v'chetavo bedaf sheni. I'm reading the Mishnah. V'ha'Eidim milemata. And the Eidim are signed underneath. So we said it is indeed kashir. So the Gemara is now going to discuss some concerns that we might that we should be worried about. So the Gemara says, "Velihush, why don't you suspect Dilma hanitregite havu? Maybe really it's two different gittin. Veitramele zman dekama veedim debatra." V'gazia lizman debatra v'edim dekama. Let's read the Rashi. Let's see what they were concerned about over here. V'nichush dilma tregi te'avu ashiyer miksat taget v'kadvo b'daf ashenikai. Good, it's going on that case that we discussed where you wrote part of the get on the second column. Dilma tregi tinayu shelemim. Maybe they were originally two complete getin. והסימלי נכתב בגובה של מגילה יותר מן הימני. And the left one was written on the parchment, maybe higher than the right one. עד יתרמי עדין דידי, כלומר גומרו של שני כנגד חפעתו של ראשון. Which means the end of the second get on the left side, the last line corresponded to the first line of the get on the right side, which is maybe there was a get on top of the left side. And what happened? Nashi Zman de kama haynu hathalato ve'edim de batra haynu sufo. Kelomar shitot acharonot she'edim chatumim tahtem, which means maybe on the right side they cut off the area that the edim was signed. That's why you don't see edim on the right side. The gazial lizman de batra, the edim de kama, which means they cut the zman of the second get off, which is the top of the second get. They cut the bottom of the first get. So therefore, it looks like all one get. Hatak sofoshel rishon shaya shelo. Why did he cut the bottom? Mipne tenai shayabo. Could be there were certain conditions that he put in the get over there. So now he doesn't want these conditions. So therefore he cut the bottom of his get, the right get out. V'hatach rosho shel sheni. And he cut the left side, the date and all that. V'shvu l'tchilato shel rishon. V'chived hatikat sofo shel rishon. Teva etzel teva. Which is he made it look like it's all just one get. right? So maybe it's two gittin really, okay. And he cut it in a way where he cut the bottom of the first get that it continues to the second column by cutting the top of the second get, right? It's a tvet shashuna shni umigarsha b'shne hatzei gittin, and now he's divorcing his wife with two halves of a get. Now the edim are starting on the second column; it's not his get. So why don't you suspect that? Because now he's, all you have is 40, he's just get over here. They tell the Aedim to sign. I guess they didn't sign such a get. You don't know what type of get this is. Could be it was two half gets. And the guy played around with it by cutting the bottom of the first one, the top of the second one. I'm going to be Abba. I'm Arab. Kishayesh Revah Milimata. There's space on the on the right side. On the right get, under the last line, is space. So you know he didn't cut anything. So you know there weren't any conditions over there that he cut out. There was still some blank lines in the end over there. So under the right get, you're concerned on the right get. There's some blanks over there. Good. So you're not concerned about that. So comes Rashi. Kishis rebach melemata gilyon ta'ata rishon. Devadai lo nechtach menu klum. Nothing was ripped over there. Telo nechtav bo yoter. Nothing was written over there. Oh, v'dilma zman debatra megaz gazia. But maybe he cut the zman of the second get, the date of the second get, or forget the bottom nashi. Right? Shema haget shelo nimlach melegomro, which is maybe his get he wrote, and then he changed his mind on his get that he wrote. Ulma'la emenu betzido haya get aher. And next to it was another get katuv, vehatum, ukshazav nimlach legaresha. Then he said, you know what? I'm going to divorce him. He wrote the first get. Then he changed his mind. He said, you know what? Piss. Happened to me, there was another get on the left side. The hatach el yonosh el shini. So he cut the date off the second get. Vechiven teva etzit teva ligmor get shelo. Which is maybe he finished his get. Which is, he wrote the get originally. He was intending to give it. Then at the end he said, you know what? Piss. Then he's decided, I'm going to give it again. So what did he do to make it easy for himself? He just cut the second get that was next to it in order to mechaven the end of his get with the end of his get with the end of the second get by cutting the top of the second get off. So now the Aedim are signing, thinking on one get. I'm not worried about it that he cut anything on his get. I'm just worried that he might have cut and pasted like, from the second get to make it correspond to his get, and therefore they're signing on to gittin. So the Gemara says, well, the same answer we just said, we can say now. Didn't we just say on the right side you had space on the bottom? So I'll say the same thing. We have space on top. And therefore, it's clear that what? It wasn't another get, because you didn't cut it. Because you can see you have space on the top of the second get. So therefore, it's just a continuation of his get. Yeah. Also, comes the Gemara and says, what do you mean? Yeah. Vidilma.
Oh, that's what it is.
Now she says, which means, there was nothing more written on top of it. That you cut. It was blank. Ella, what? You wrote your get on the right side.
He didn't finish it.
And then he finished it on the next column. Okay. Now he said, well, I'm finishing it. So he wrote the rest of the get on the second column. And I'm not worried that it was cut from another get because there's some blank space on top. Yeah. So comes Gemara and says, V'dilma imluche imlich v'chatav. But still, don't help me. Because maybe he changed his mind. So let him change his mind. What's the problem? Well, once he changes his mind, so now we have a rule that once a guy writes a get and changes his mind from giving it, so the get is pasul, it's invalid. So now technically he has all one get, basically. But there was a change of mind in between. And therefore we have to be concerned that what? That the get is pasul. Wal garashi. Second line. V'dilma imluche imlich. Mitzchidato shelo legarsha. V'adar imlich lachazman nalzov legarsho. V'nimsa harishon batel. And therefore, if the right side get is batir, iname, havli nechtav beyom v'nechtav lehazeman. Or you have another psul in it. That it was written on one day, and it was signed on another day. Which means we have a proof that it's like that. Because the guy wrote it, and then there's a space on the bottom. It sounds like something happened in the interim. Which means, why would he write it, leave a space in the bottom, then finish it
on top. Ela must be that what there was a point over here where he changed his mind. Where he didn't finish the get. He stopped obviously in the middle. And the proof of the pudding is that you have some space on the bottom. Obviously, he changed his mind in the middle. Also, you have to be concerned that such a get is not a good get. Which is even if you assess all one get. But still, we have to hoshesh with the blank space on the bottom that indicates to us there was a change of heart over here. Yeah. And a change of heart to be posealed again.
That's what
we suspect that. Yeah, we should suspect that. That's what I was asking. You're telling me you have a get, one column, a comma, the edim sign, and the second comma is kosher. So we're trying to think of all the potential problems that this get can have. So the Gemara is coming along to say now, hey listen, I'm looking at this get, I have to look at the evidence I have in front of me. I see a get written on the right side, the rest of the column is blank. I said, well, why would the guy leave it blank on the bottom over there and finish it on the top? Ela must be, he got to a certain point, and he said to him, so you know what? Pass. And then later on he came along and said, you know what? I'm going to finish it. So he just went on top and he finished the get. Imnuche changed his mind. So there's a psul on that. So Gemara says, Dechatav hare at melemata umuteret melemala. He wrote on the bottom, he ended up with the words hare'at. Okay? And then on the next column it says, muteret. We're not going to suspect that the guy changed his mind at that point when he wrote hare'at. Which means, if you want to tell me earlier in the get, already the guy changes my mind. But from the word hare'at to muteret, which already that's in the middle of a sentence. Mid-sentence, you're done and the guy changes his mind, that's already far-fetched. So on the bottom it says hare'at, then on top it says muteret. You got to assume that once he got to that point, the guy was going all the way. Now she says, fourth line, hare'at muteret milimale, debetoch kede gmar dibur, between the word hare'at and muteret, nekalimad de memnach, Ela gomer ad lechol adam. Are muter lechol adam. And then he changed his mind. But that's okay. Because then the get already was written. And therefore we have no concern. That's the Gemara I want to say. So the Gemara says, good?
Yeah.
Not too good. Itramele. So the Gemara says, okay, you don't know that it didn't happen. Well, it's still safek. Maybe it changes one. Maybe very nice. The odds are maybe not like that, but maybe it was like that. But she says shebetoke de gemar dibur hazar bo. Then you says v'dilma etramele. Maybe still, maybe it did happen. It was to change his mind. Kodai lo hashinam. So Gemara says, come on. So far already, we're not going to be choshesh to say that it is the pasuch. That is a far fetched hashash. Hashash lechoka. Good.
To say that he actually
changed his mind. Right, he says, "In anu ma'alim al dahteru efshalut muteret." And then he changed his mind. You still need space to get rid of the hashash of cutting. Okay, because that's already another story over there. Good. That comes again. Gemara says, "New answer." New answer that answers all our suspicions. Which is the way we answer the case till now, it's got to be talking about a case where on the right side there was space on the bottom, on the left side there's space on the top, so you know nothing was cut. And it's also a case where he wrote that at muteret on the bottom, and he wrote the chol adam on the top, and therefore there's no hashash that he changes mind in the interim, so they get this going to be kasher, therefore the Wednesday will come to sign. Now the Vashay gives a whole new answer. The Vashay Amar, Didi'a be mittahta de michilta. Rashi. All your questions and all your hashash that you had, ma'akim et tarsan. They were answered like this. Kegon didi'a be mitahta de migilta. What does that mean? Shnikar be mitihata klaf saviv saviv kolaget shelo haya bo klaf elaze lo lema'ala velo lemata, which means you could look at the cloth and you know this was never cut, this cloth, which means they used to stretch the cloth. Okay, now you could look at the sides of the cloth, it seems the sides of the cloth are a different color than the actual darker, good, than the spot that you're actually writing on. So now you look, if it was cut, then you already would see the same, like say, white cloth, you know, on the borders. But from the fact that the borders are one color, that means they stretched it out. That's why they would stretch the cloth. And then she points us out, and she says, "Shenikar sivivot the cloth shahor." Good. Around the cloth, the borders is like black. The av, it's a little thicker. Shelo nagah sham ta'al galabim. When they are tanning it and stretching it or scraping, they don't touch that area. Shederich osek lafim shekoshrim avanim saviv. They tie stones around the klaf limtoah haklaf to stretch it. Umatchilim nitekenot besamuch usheen leva melemata askinan. Okay, there's no space on the bottom. Teleka lemefrak enuche emnik. So therefore, we don't have a problem that he changes his mind because I tell you, there's no space on the bottom. Okay, so you're not worried about changing his mind. Because if he had space on the bottom, they have to wait. Hey, maybe why did he stop in the middle of a thing there? A sentence. Ilawadi went to the bottom. The borders are intact. And therefore, you have no problem. You look at the guy.
Same piece.
Oh, maybe he ripped it. Yeah. He ripped it. If he ripped it, you wouldn't have seen the borders intact. So that's a simple answer that the Mashiach comes along and says. Comes the Gemara and continues. Hatmu edim birosh hadaf. If the witnesses sign the get on the top of the daf, on the side of the daf, so we said in all those cases over there, it is pasul, no good. They have to sign underneath the get. Ini, we have a contradiction. They are Rav Hatim min Asad. Oh, Rav would sign on the side of a get. Hatam b'shigago kelape ketav, which means we're talking about where the head, the top of the letters, were facing the ktav, Rashi. B'shigago shel hatima, again, the roof of the signature, top of the letters, kelape ktav aget, davaday al get zehatam. Umatnitin b'shinagle hatima kelape ktav aget. But in the case that we're talking about over here, is where he signed, and the bottom of the letters are facing the get. You have to suspect that, like, he signed upside down, it looks like. So therefore, it could mean it was a get on the other side, and they signed on the get that was on the other side of it. When it said Rav signed Minatzad, it was in a way where it was clearly evident that the direction of the letters, the top of the letters, were facing the get that was on top. Actually, you could probably see some pictures over here.
One on the left, one
behind. Okay, we have some pictures here. What numbers we want to look at? Let's look at number 8 over here, right? Hatam b'shigago klepe ktav. So you tell me he signed in a way where his letters were, the head were kenegadi shtar. Good. Ela, according to this, hadiktani. According to the way we learned in the Mishnah, hekif rosho shel ze, besad rosho shel ze, which means, let's say you have two getin, where the head of the get, head of one get, is next to the head of another get. That means you have one get going up, another get going down, so the heads of the getin are, you know, connected to each other, and the edim signed in the middle. What do we say? That's the picture you're looking at over there. Shnehem pesurim, both no good. So Gemara says, what do you mean? Which means, if you're telling me that you go and you look at the head of the letter, and the rule is wherever the head of the letter is facing the get, whichever get it's facing, it's kashir. So therefore the Mishnah should say that what? You told me that what? When Rav signed from the side. Since the head of the letters was facing the get, so therefore, now we have a new rule. Whenever the head of a letter is facing the get, that's the one that's kashir. So therefore when you have two getim, I'm in the picture on the left over here, where you have the two guys signed, Uven ben Yaakov, whatever it is, and Gad ben Levi. The top of the letter is facing the top get. I don't care if it's on the top of it. The point is, you gave me a rule that if the head of the letters are facing the get that's kasher. So why did the Mishnah say the shnei pesulim? So comes the Gemara says, hatam diramele ke'ivra. There he signed in between the two gitin, but he signed it like a bolt. A bolt meaning he didn't sign it parallel or horizontal. He signed it vertical. And therefore, in this case, over there, the head of the letters are not facing any of the getim. If the head of Lez was facing the top gate, it would have been kasher. But hey, a bolt. It seems there was like a long pole, right? They used to lock their doors. So he signed it kevra. And then we saw it long and straight down. Therefore, it's not facing the head of Lez, any of the gittin. Therefore, it's going to be pasul. You see the picture? See the way he signed it? The head of these letters, what is it facing? Nothing. It's not facing any of the two gittin. It's facing outside. And therefore, none of the gittin are going to be kasher. But in the first picture to the left, the top get will be kasher. Because the head of the letters are facing the top get, yes?
But it's upside down and it's on the top.
That's the rule. That's the rule we just said. That as long as the top, Rav signed the get from the side. Said, oh, how could it be? So he said, well, the top of the head of the letters was facing the get. So give me a new rule now. As long as the top of the letters are facing the get, it's kasher. Top of the signatures. So you see the case of the Mishnah. Why are you telling me that what? Shnei pisulin? Says, you're right. Really? The case of the Mishnah, shnei pisulin, because you signed vertically. So the head of the letters are not facing any of the gittin. But if the head of the letters were facing one of the gittin, like on the left side picture, the top kit would be indeed kasher. If that's the case, sefad diktani, the end of the Mishnah that said rosho shel ze besad sofo shel ze, that means rosho shel ze, the head of one get, right, the head of one get is next to what? Right, one get is written on top of each other. So roshos shelzeh, samuch lesofos shelzeh. So you have a get, and then a get underneath it. So the top of the second get is next to the end of the first get. The edim ba'emsa. So we said, and the edim are signed in between. Et ha'edim nikrim besofo kasher. Now, so we said that what? So the edim that are on the bottom, right? The one that read, that flows, the edim are read with that get, that's the get that's kashir. The ediramei ki'ivra. But if you're telling me now that the way they signed in between the two gittin is like a bolt, they signed vertically, sideways, lav ba'adei mikre, v'lav ba'adei mikre. It's not read with either of them. So the Gemara comes along and says, you're right. Aye, so go back to Rav's case. How did he sign like that? Ela Rav bidiske havahatim. He didn't sign gittin like that. Really? On gittin, signing on the side is not good. Ela what? It's got to be under the get. It's the signatures have to be connected to the get that you're signing. Oh, but Rav signed on the side. In a different case, he didn't sign on gittin. He signed on the diske, on the pouch that they used to put shtarot in. What is this pouch? Rashi, ela Rav. Look at Rashi. Ki hatim min hasad la begitin velo b'shtarot eda b'diske. Giske is like the pouch. Kishaya mazmin anashim ledin lefanav. Used to summons people to the bet din. Vasofer kotev them igiret hazmana b'shmo. Now you have to invite the guy to the bet din or summons him. Rav would write a hazmana. You are officially summoned to the court to testify. In the subpoena, exactly. On those shtarot, it's a shtaraz mana. It's not really a document of like a get and things like that. The shtaraz mana, he would sign on the other side, which is, it wasn't a legal document like the other cases of it. But on a get, if he would sign on the side, it's pasul. And therefore we can learn the Mishnah's case away with the two gittin, and he signs in the middle. Even if they signed it horizontally, it's no good. Because bottom line, you didn't sign under the get. I don't go with the rule of the top of the letters where it's facing. Okay, so everyone's good. I continues. Get sheketavo ivrit. Ktav sofer ve'ed kashir. Can we go back to a sugya that we have learned previously? And that is the sugya of Ktav Sofer. Go ahead. The Mishnah said, you have one ed signed on the get with the writing of the Sofer. We call that Ktav Sofer, which we understand meaning he didn't sign it, the Sofer. It's just his handwriting. So you can count the handwriting of the sofer plus one ed to make the get kasher. He's like the second witness. Amar Hatam sofer shaninu. When it says that you have the sofer, doesn't mean the ktav, the writing. You actually need his signature. Amar Rabbi Hamani, who must be the author of our Mishnah? Rabbi Yosehi. Now let me review to you Rabbi Yosehi's Shita and to say exactly what's going on over it. Rabbi Yosehi said, Mili lo mimsira l'shaliyah. Which means what? When you want to designate shaliyah, you cannot do it verbally. Okay? You cannot, which means, I go to a shaliyah. Okay? That shaliyah, I can appoint a shaliyah, that's for sure. But the shaliyah cannot go now and appoint another shaliyah just verbally and say, okay, take care of him. The only way you can write the get is it has to be from the Baal. The Baal does the appointments. So far so good? Good. So now, I'm going to tell you like this. That which we say, Hatam Sofer, the actual signature of the Sofer, must be, if the Sofer signed, must be that he was instructed to by the husband. Because if he was not instructed by the husband, the get would not be kasher. Because according to Rabbi Yosef, the only way a guy can sign it is he got instruction. So therefore I'm not worried of the following situation. Maybe what happened, the husband told two guys, take care of the get. Okay? And go to that sofer, let him write it. Maybe the two shalichim are going to be embarrassed for the sofer. He's just writing and he's not going to sign. So what are they going to do? They're going to go to the sofer. You know what? Bechavod. You sign. And therefore what? It's not going to be good. Because he didn't appoint them. But once we say we're going like Rabbi Yosef, then everybody knows that what? That the guy has to be appointed directly. So I'm not going to suspect that the Shalichim appointed the Sofer. Because the Sofer knows he can't sign unless he was actually directly appointed. Therefore, Hatam Sofer, the writing of the Sofer, will be okay. No hashash. I don't have to suspect that maybe the guy told the Baal, told the Shalichim. And the Shalichim, out of embarrassment for the Sofer, told the Sofer to sign. Because in that case, it wouldn't be good. But since we go like Rabbi Yosef, that says, Midi lo mimsere l'shaliyah, and that what the Baal has through the actual appointments. So therefore, when the Sofer signs, you could assume that what he was told. But if you don't know like Rabbi Yosef, then I got a problem. Because if you can appoint people just with words, mm-hmm. I have to suspect that the husband told these guys to sign, and out of embarrassment to the sofer, they went and told the sofer to sign, and he wasn't appointed. Although, and the sofer is going to say, oh, I can sign, I don't have to be appointed by the husband, and then he's going to sign, and then the guy is going to be present because the husband only wanted the shalichim. So therefore, that which we say, Hatam sofer is okay, is aliba, Rabbi Yosef. Can I speak it out one more time? According to Rabbi Yosef, the only way you can sign a get is if you got express consent from the husband. Good? Once I tell you that, I have no problem for the sofer ever signing a get. You know why? Because if a sofer is signing a get, I know for sure he must have been told. And I don't have to suspect that what? Maybe the guy told Shemichim. And maybe Shemichim on their own told the sofer, they were embarrassed because it's not fair. He's writing again. He's not going to sign. Maybe he's going to get offended. So they're going to come along and invite him. I'm not worried about that suspicion. Because since everybody knows that you can't be a witness unless you were directly appointed by the Baal, so when the sofer signs, you got to say he was appointed. No problem. Ha'i ketuvat hatanim da'chal kamed Rabbi Abhu. It was a ketubah. Came in front of Rabbi Abu. Abu yad'ale le'tufsa. They recognized the sofer's handwriting. Okay, there was one witness on the... it was two witnesses, but they didn't recognize the two witnesses. They knew one witness, but they said, oh, we noticed sofer's handwriting, you know, Mr. Sofer so-and-so. They knew one witness. They said, okay, now, Ktav Sofer, with the one witness. When the Mishnah said Ktav Sofer, it meant Hatam's and therefore you cannot be makshir the get just or the ketubah just from the writing. You need the actual signatures. Parah continues. Katav hanichato vahanichataha kashir.
So in the get, of course, you have to write the husband's name and you have to write the lady's name. So normally you write, let's say the guy's name is Reuven ben Yaakov. So right, Reuven ben Yaakov. But you can also write hanichato. Hanichato means like a surname. If, for example, let's say his great great grandfather, or like Mordechai's great great grandfather, whatever it was Kish. Mm-hmm. Right? So you can write in the get Mordechai ben Kish. You can even write like so long as he's called that. So you're allowed to put the surname of the family in the get itself. So the Gemara says, but how far could you go back? Could you go back 20 generations? I mean, how far could you go back using a surname? Hanichatot. Hanichat avot megitin ad asara dorot. You go back up to 10 generations. So that she says, Havya Hanicha, that's considered a surname. She'im katva beget, lo mifstalal mevekes shinas shemomesh. That's considered you change the name. So therefore Mordechai ben Kish would be okay. Because that, let's say, was within 10 generations. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omed gibel dorot kasher. You can only go back 3 generations. Mikad ve'idach pasul. After that, it's already considered as if you are changing the name. So it's got to be within 3 generations. So comes the Gemara and says, Keman az la'adam Rabbi Hanina katab hanichat avot begitim. Ad gimel dorot. That what it says that you can write the surname up to 3 generations. Who's that going? Like him, can be Shulman al-Azad. That says what? 3 generations. Amar Avuna Me'ikra. Where do you know this from? Kitolid banim ubne banim venoshantim. So name is Kitolid banim. That's one generation. And bene banim. And then after that, already in the 3rd generation venoshantim, like is you're going to forget. Look at Rashi. Rashi says banim hanu dorbet. Right, Benim is the 2nd generation, because the 1st generation is the father. Benim is the 2nd generation. Bene Benim is the 3rd generation. There was a pasuk saying, and it'll be like forgotten. So therefore, Hanicha is a name, is you can go up to 3 generations using a name. You can use such so and so, the son of his great grandfather. Mm-hmm. But after that, already it's too far back. Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Nevi, lo achar ba'eres Yisrael. Ad she'avdu ba zayin batedinim avodah zarah. Eretz Yisrael was not destroyed until 7 batedinim. That she says 7 families of kings, 7 royal families from Malchei Yisrael worshipped avodah zarah. Once 7 kings worshipped avodah zarah, that already was destroyed and broke the camel's back, and then the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. Look at that. She zayin batedinim, zayin mishpechot shel melachim memalchei Yisrael. Even though there were some kings from Yehuda also that worshipped Avodah Zarah, lo hashiv shayu b'mehem shel elu, because they were in the same generations as these Malchei Yisrael. Ve'havi kebet in echad hamelech ubno uben beno vechol melachim shekamu mezarao acharav karichat bedin. Which means, even though, let's say you have the king and his son and his grandson that worship Avodah Zarah, they're calling that, they count that as one. Shalom ben Yavesh v'Zechariah lo kachashiv, they didn't count those two either. V'fi shalom malchu shana shelema, because they didn't have a complete year in their king, so they're not listed on the list. V'chim zimri, aval omri aviv shel Ahav av shem bet yino shel Ahav nekra. Okay, he's counted part of Ahav's family. Mepneh שאחיו הרשיע לעשות יותר נקרא הקלקול על שמו. Okay, so since Ahab was worse than all the other kings, right, his kilkul was worse, like we'll see, so therefore it refers to him as the bedin of Omri. I'm reading that again. About Omri Abiv Shel Ahav, Omri the father of Ahav, Al Shem Bet Dino Shel Ahav Nikra. That's considered the family of Ahav, because Ahav was so bad, even though Omri was over, that was Azara, but they put it on Ahav's account because he was so bad. Okay, Al Shemo Bimei Hoshea Ben Alah, that's another king. Galu Asirat Shevatim. Then already the tribes went into exile. Mahu Shata Karele Churban. Which means when we say the Hurban was destroyed, it means from the time that the Shevatim went into Okay, now we're going to see the seven kings that worshipped Avodah Zarah that eventually led to the exile of the 10 tribes, which eventually led to the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. Again, we're only listing over here Malche Yisrael, even though Malche Yehuda also became corrupted to a certain point, but we're discussing Malche Yisrael, and these are the families. Ve'eluhin Yerovam ben Nevat, Ba'asha ben Ahya, Ahav ben Omri, even though Omri also worshipped Avodah Zarah, but since Ahav was worse, so they listed it as his. V'yehu ben Nimshi, Bekeyah ben Remaliyahu, U'menachem ben Gadi, V'Hoshea ben Allah, or Elah. Now, Shina Imar, how do you know that these seven families over here that worshipped Avodah Zarah eventually brought the exile? Because the Pasuk says, Umlala yoledet ha-shiv'a, that the umlal, the
desolate.
Okay, the desolate one that bore seven, nafha nafsha,
her spirit was miserable,
ba'ash shimsha be'od yomam, the sun came down, set in the middle of the day, musha ve'hafra, and brought shame and embarrassment. So you see the seven, the number seven, the seven families that eventually brought the desolation. Amar Avame, Me'ekera'a. Now what are we trying to prove of Me'ekera'a? Because it says, Ki tolid banim ubne banim. So what is that trying to prove exactly? What's the Me'ekera'a trying to prove? How do you know from the Torah, from the Pesukim, that in the Torah that what? That this is true. So it says, "Ki tolid banim ubnim roshantem ba'aris v'shatem ba'asitem pesil ba'asitem arab b'nei Hashem lekalachiso ha'idot ibechem ayom ki avot tovedun." So that predicted. You're going to live in Eretz Yisrael. You're going to have the Beit Hamikdash. You're going to worship Avodah Zarah. And then what's going to happen? Avot tovedun. Amri le'rav kana v'rav asher rav. Ketiv Beit says by Hoshea ben Elah. He did bad in the eyes of God. Look at Malchei Yisrael. But he wasn't as bad as the kings that were before him. And then it says, Shalman Eser was the king of Assyria, and he exiled the Jewish people to Assyria. Now the question is, why? If you tell you he wasn't as bad, so why then did they bring the exile in his day? Which means the Pasuk is giving a reason. It's saying, he wasn't as bad, and therefore God sent Shalmaneser. What do you mean? If he wasn't as bad, that should be a reason he should go into exile? Adrabah. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar lehu, Otan Pardesiot. That's the sentries, or the watchmen, the guards. Sheoshiv Yerovam al derachim, that Yerovam put on the roads. Right, Yerubam ben Nebat put up guards so the Jewish people cannot go to Yerushalayim on the Negel. He rerouted them to go worship Avodah Zarah. So what happened? Baho Sheya ubetelam. So Hoshea ben Elah came along and he got rid of these guards, so the Jews were now allowed to go up to Yerushalayim. Ba'afal pichen lo alu Yisrael laregel. Now they still didn't go up. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, otan shanim shelo alu Yisrael laregel yilchu b'shevi. Which means now already it's worse, because now there's nothing stopping them, and therefore, since Hoshea ben Elah was not as worse as Yerovam, because he didn't promote them going to Yerushalayim, he still worshipped Avodah Zarah, but at least he gave them an option. And once they had the option, they still didn't take advantage. So Borei Olam said, all those years, the Jewish people instead are going to go into exile. He quotes over here from Tanah de Beliyahu, V'chi manishtana Hoshea ben Elah mekom malchei Yisrael shom lefanav. Why was Hoshea different? And in his time, the Jews went into exile. Elam Mishamad, Yerovam ben Nevat, Ad Sheva Hoshea ben Elah, Ta'avodat Nimtilya B'Yahid. Which means, it was the king that caused the Jewish people to worship, let's say, Avodah Zarah. V'ayak kashir iftabim shal shamayim ligalot. It was hard for God to send the Jewish people into exile because of the king's bad actions. Right? Because it was really considered Avon Yahid. Elam Sheva Hoshea ben Elah, Huaya omed ubitel kol ha-mishmarot. He was mevatel all the guards. Kulan chayu omdim al derachim imei Yerovam shelo yelusel la-regel Yerushalayim. And he made an announcement. Kol mi shu rotzeh la'alot la-regel Yerushalayim yabo v'ya'aleh. He can go.
Now he took the collar off his neck and he put it on the people. See, till now you can always blame it on the king. The king was stopping us from worshiping. But once Hoshea said, whoever wants to go can go, now already God judged the Sibur to their guilt, therefore the Galut took place in his time. It says in the Pasuk in Daniel, Vayishkod Hashem al alinu kitzadik Hashem elokenu. God brought the exile on us quickly. Vayishkod. It's quickly. And you know why God brought the exile quickly? Because God is a tzaddik. So the Gemara says, Mishum de tzaddik Hashem elokenu vayishkod Hashem al ra'a baybi'e alinu. Because God is a tzaddik, he brought the exile on us earlier? And what kind of tzedkut is that? Ela tzedaka asai kadosh baruch hu im Yisrael. God did us a great chesed. Shehigla galut tzedkiyahu v'adayin galut yechonya kayemet. Let's review this chesed. When Nebuchadnezzar sent the Jewish people to exile, the times of the Churban Bayit Rishon, there were two waves of exiles. 11 years before the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, there was what was called galut yechonya. Right, that was the first exile. The rabbis were exiled. They went out to Babel, and they were able to build yeshivot, and they were able to build Torah. Finally, after the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, the second wave was in the time of Tzidkiyah. Now, Borei Olam made it that the scholars of Yechonya's time were still alive when the exilees in Tzidkiyah's time came down. So therefore, they were able to pass on the Torah to the majority of the exilees. So therefore, God did us a favor by bringing the exile a little earlier, so the people in Tzidkiyah's time, which was the main wave of exiles, would be able to see the rabbis that were exiled in the times of Yechoniah, so the Torah would still remain in the Jewish people and established. So therefore, the exile in Tzidkiyah came early in order for this time. So therefore, it was a tzedakah. The Gemara says, "Dechtipe begalut Yechoniah," when they exiled Yechoniah, he harash v'masker elif. Now the harash is the, I guess what, the craftsman?
Yes.
And the masger is the gatekeepers. It says those are the craftsmen and the gatekeepers. Those are the ones that went into exile. Who are these gatekeepers? Who are these craftsmen?
Who's the gatekeepers?
The Gemara says, harash, these are the rabbis. Shebesha'ash sheputhi nasu akol kehershin. When the rabbis open their mouths, everybody becomes like a harash. Everybody becomes like a mute. So they call them the ones that mute other people. And what? Masgir, the gatekeepers, Kevanches Sugreen, when the rabbis make a conclusion on a law, Shub Enam Potchei. There it is, nobody can open it again. It's done, it's conclusive. The Kaman, how many Hakamim were exiled in the times of Yechoniah? Elif, and 1,000. And those 1,000 rabbis regenerated and planted Torah on foreign soil. So therefore, when the Jews finally came down in the second wave, the Torah was already preceded them to Babel. That was a hes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us, in order that the Torah will continue to perpetuate. Ula Amar, Ula says another explanation. What was the tzedakah that God made the exile a little early? Shigdim shte shanim leveno shantem. Which means, it says in the Pasuk, Kitolid banim ubnei banim. Right? You're going to be living in Eretz Yisrael. You're going to have children, you're going to have grandchildren. And then the Pasuk says, Veno shantem ba'aris. You're going to be in the land for a long time. And then what? You're going to start doing avodah zarah. It says God is going to destroy the nation. Now, the Jewish people were supposed to be in Eretz Yisrael kiminyan v'noshantim. If you calculate the numerical value of the word v'noshantim, it's 852. However, God took us out 2 years early and sent us into Galut, and therefore He saved us from the punishment of Va'abatim. Because if He would have stayed 853 years in Israel, then already there wouldn't have been a hope for us. So God, He made the Galut a little earlier, so now we were able to not fulfill the Pasuk. Because if we would have fulfilled the Pasuk of Enosh Shantem, which is 852, it would have been over for us. So Chesed, Tzedakah, Sekhaz, Baruch Hu, that He did not keep us in the full measure. Can I look at Rashi on the bottom there? Ula Amar, Hainu Tzedakah. Actually, let's read all these Rashi's over here. Galut Yechonya. Start from that. Shehu Yo Yachin. קדמה לגלות צדקיה 11 שנה. יהויכין's exile was 11 years before צדקיה. וזוהי צדקה שמיהר והחריב ביתו. God hurried up and destroyed the temple כדי לגלות דורות של צדקיה לבבל. So the generation of צדקיה will go to בבל. בעוד שחכמי גלות יחוניה קיימים. Right? So long as the גלות יחוניה, these guys are still rabbis, are still alive, שילמדו תורה לאלו הגולים. So teach them תורה. אחריהם, לפי שרוב חכמי התורה גלו עם יחוניה. תלמי נורא כזה, זה זכרה, זה מסגר. Good. כיוון שסוגרים הלכה שהם סגורים בה, when the rabbis over there, they conclude on a law, שאינם יודעים להשיב לשואליהם שוב, אין לה פותחים אחרים. Nobody can open their mouth, nobody can ask any questions. אולי אמר, היינו צדקה שמיהר להביא הרעה לסוף חטא מאות בחמישים. The Jewish people from the times of the Midbar, when they came into the ancient times of Yeshua, from the time that they came in to the time of the destruction of Beit HaMikdash was exactly 850 years. So that says, if they would have stayed another 2 years, would have been fulfilled on them the Pasuk of Va'abatim. Now the Pasuk Gemara says, Amar Avacha Bar Yaakov. Shema' Minna. You learn a lesson from it. Mehera de mare alma tamne me'a b'chavishim mitartehu. Which means, when the Torah says the word mehera, meaning quickly, God's quickly is 852 years. Why? Because it says you're going to worship Avodah Zarah, v'abadetem mehera. I'm going to destroy you right away. But how long would a God have waited before he destroyed us? He wouldn't have destroyed us for the Avodah Zarah until 852 years passed. So you see, when it says Mehera in the Torah, in God's terminology, Mehera is 852 years, which means to us Mehera means immediately. But God's patient. His Mehera is 852 years, because God says you're going to go with Israel and you're going to worship Avodah Zarah. But then Mehera. Mehera, what do you mean? You worship Avodah Zarah for 852 years. So you see, the terminology of Mehera in God's lingo, so to speak, is 852 years. Okay, now we go to the next Mishnah. Okay, get me'useh. Now we start discussing a forced get. According to the law, a husband has to give a get willingly. The get has to be given meratzon. You do not force the husband to give the get. It cannot be given under duress. If it is given, it is called a get me'useh. Okay, as a forced get. So the deed is like this. Get me'useh. If it's a forced get, be Yisrael kasher. If it's given by a bet din of Yisrael, the get is kasher. Now, we have to ask the question over here, how can it be kasher? So, I don't care if a Jewish court is enacting it. Bottom line, he's giving it against his will. So the Gemara says, you beat him up. And the Gemara says, Ne'elchin kofino to ad she'omer rotze ani. That you beat the guy up until he says, okay, I want to give the get. So there's a famous Rambam over here that tries to explain, what do you mean? If you're forcing the guy by beating him up, it's still under duress. It's still a get me'useh. Just because he says, I want. You put a gun to the guy's head, he wants. Of course he wants. He doesn't want to die. So the Rambam's lashon is like this. Ve'lama lo bitel get zeh. The Rambam is in Halachot Girushin, Halacha Perek Bet Halacha Chaf. Listen to the beautiful Lashon of Rambam. Sharehu Anus Ben Biyad Goyim Ben Biyad Yisrael, which is even when the Bet Din of Yisrael is giving the get, they're forcing him. He's Anus. It doesn't count. He says She'en Omrim Anus. You only call a guy Anus under the rest. Ela Lemish Nelchatz V'Nedhak La'asot Davar She'enu Mechoyabo Min HaTorah La'asotu. When a person does something voluntarily that he's not obligated, let's say, from the Torah to do, kegon mishuka ad shemachar unatan, which means, let's say, you try to force a guy to sell something. He's not obligated to sell an item. So you're beating him up to sell. So he sells under duress. That's considered under duress because you're not obligated to do such a thing. Aba mishetakfo yetzro hara. But if a guy's yetzirah got the best of him, לבטל מצווה או לעשות עבירה, he has the answer not to do certain sin, והוכה, and he gets מכות, עד שעשה דבר שחייב לעשותו, and that מכות turned him around, he abstains, that's not considered the rest. Ela, who anas atzmo b'da'ato ara'a. He put himself in the situation. He caused himself to. He put himself under that duress. Lefichach, ze she'enu rotze legaresh. This guy's. I'm not giving it all. We're talking about a case over here, mind you. There's certain cases that the Gemara Ketuvot says that you have to divorce. Which means, for example, the guy's a ma'us. The guy smells, and therefore the lady can't be married to such a man. It's affecting the relationship. So therefore, the law is you force the husband to give a get. There's a certain case where the husband is obligated to give a get. That comes with the guy, I'm not giving the get. Now he knows the law. He can only give it willingly. So he's going to hold the lady hostage now. I'm not giving the get. Force me. I'm not giving it. Yeah. And you can't force me because I have to give it willingly. So the law is what? Beat him up. So Rambam says, Me'achal shu rotze liyot mi'Yisrael. Every Jew wants to do what's right. He wants to be part of Israel. Rotzeu la'asot kol ha'mitzvot. The heart of a Jew, inside, he wants to do the mitzvot. That's the essence of a Jew. The Yisro should take force. The Yisro got in the way. V'chevan shehuka. When you're beating up, what are you doing? You're taking off the kilipa, off the neshama, all the grime and all the, you know, the hatzitzot. Famous Rambam, that Rambam says that every single Jew in his depth is good. It's just that way you have to reveal the goodness. So when the guy comes along and says, I want to give the get, since he's hayav to give the get, and that's what God wants him to do, so when he says, I want, even though you're beating him up, you're just beating him up to get to the essence of what he really wants. Therefore, it's not considered a get me'useh. Bet kochavim pasul. But if a goy court does the forcing, so then the law is, it's going to be pasul. Which means, if a bet din of goyim comes along and starts to beat up the guy, right, in order that he should give the get, we don't let a betin of goyim force a get. What's the reason for this? So the Gemara is going to explain, because what's going to happen then? Every lady that wants to get a get, she's going to go to the goyim, right? She's going to get the thugs to come along now and start to beat up the husband. So we don't want the lady to go start employing goyim now to start beating up the husband. Comes the Gemara and says, Mishnah says, Hofti, but in a goy court, which means you can employ the goyim court to employ what the Jewish court wants. That means they can beat him up and say, give the get according to what Bet Din Ploni is telling you to do. But to do it on their own volition, without the auspices of a Jewish court, that's considered a get me'useh. Okay? But now we start the Gemara. Rabbi begins like this. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, get ha-me'useh be-Yisrael kedin kasher. What does kedin mean? Kedin means where the guy is mandated to give a divorce. Okay? Kedin means the law is he's got to give a divorce. I told you the case. The guy smells. And therefore the bet din comes along and says, I can't live with this guy. It's affecting the issue. I cannot live with the guy. So the law is what? The bet din tells him, you must give a divorce to your wife. I'm not giving. So the Beti comes and forces it. It's called the get me'useh. If it's kedin done by a Jewish court, she is considered a migureshet. She lo kedin. But let's say it's a case where he wasn't really obligated to get divorced.
She wants
the divorce. He was obligated. And the Beti went and beat him up. They forced him. Pasul. The get is pasul. Uposel. Interesting. But it's going to posel this lady to kehuna. She's divorced enough that if the husband dies now, she cannot marry a kohen. So a get me'useh be'Yisrael shelo kedin is posel lekehuna. Rashi says, let's just read the Rashi now. Kedin, first Rashi. Kegon anach damnim mehu yotzi v'yetin ketuva. O shaita asura lo. Oh, let's say she's asuratim. That can be also a case. Let's say the lady becomes asuratim. She committed the Eshet Ish.
So he's not allowed to be with her. So you force him to give a get now. We don't let them stay married.
So the point is, you can beat him up in that case. Pasul, latira lenasi uposed min hakohanah mishum rei haget.
In the case over here of get me'oseh, even though it's not a get, because you really can't force a guy when it's not legal, but it's the smell of a get enough to say that she's divorced the gebeh
keunah. So comes the gebeh as uvoved kochavim. But if the get is forced by a goyim, kedin pasul uposel,
which means if it's given according to the deem pasul, the get is pasul. However, it's posel for keunah. Which is even a get me'useh by goyim kedin is also posel for keuna shelo kedin afilu rehaget embo. That means a goy me'useh shelo kedin, which is the husband was not obligated to divorce. It's nothing, not even gabek. So the hadush over here is that a get me'useh by oved does have some validity legabeh if it was done kedin, meaning the husband really had to give it the divorce and they enforced it, it should be asu to a
kohen. So the Gemara asks the question, manafshach.
But she's not migudish.
Right. It's pasu uposin. So the Gemara says, manafshach.
If you tell me it's posela for kohanim, that sounds like the get is a get.
So e of the kribene asu yeninu, if they could force it, it kashur and amin it kasher. It should be a kosher get in totality. The ilav bin asu yeninu mifsal no mifsal, which means you shouldn't play it. Split it over here. Which means if it's a get, which is if they can force it, it should be a kasher get. And if not, it shouldn't posel from keuna.
Right. So comes the Gemara and says, Amarav misharshia.
The Mishashia says, "Devar Torah from the Torah, lo get me'useh be'oved kuchavim kasher."
Oh, min the Torah, really, even a fourth get by the goyim is kosher.
Umatam amru pasul. What's the reason why the rabbi said no good? Shelo te kol achat ve'achad onechet ve'tole avetolah atzma be'oved kuchavim. Because what's going to happen? If you allow the goyim to force a get, each lady is going to go higher. Thugs, they're going to go higher. Goyim umafkaat atzma biad ba'ala. And then what? She's going to free herself from the husband over here. Oh, so therefore, really, minat Torah, it is a get. Oh, so now we understand why. When you're telling me that when they do it, it'll be Pacific Yona, which is the rabbis have the ability to say it's not going to be a get because they made their gezerah. But today, a get, it's going to be legabeh keuna. So again, minat Torah, get me'useh is a get by Oved Kuchavim. And that's why it's pasul for keuna. But the rabbi said, we're not going to make it a regular get for everybody else, because we don't want the ladies to go now and start hiring goyim to do such a thing.
If it's been done right, it's a get.
The rabbis have a right to come along and say that we're taking away the power of this get. We have a power to be okay. Yes, they come along and say this get loses its strength over there. Okay. So comes the Gemara and says, "Iache shelo kedin afilu reyach haget enbo,"
which means, how come you told me shelo kedin, where they do it, let's say not legally, let's say where the husband was not obligated to divorce? So he said what? In that case, it is not even reyach haget; it's nothing. So the Gemara is asking a question: if you're telling me that really minat Torah, a get me'useh by goyim is kasher, so even when they do it shelo kedin, how could you tell me that it's not going to be posel for the keuna? It should be posel for the keuna. In the Torah, you say get me'useh is kasher.
It should be like a
kosher get, and then okay, you want to be posel for regular, but it should make no difference between kedin and shelo kedin. Even if you did it shelo kedin, it should be posel for keuna. Mm-hmm. So Gemara says, and the Gemara explains, "Venehve shelo kedin be Yisrael." Let it have the regular law of a shelo kedin be Yisrael, which is what umifsal nami lefsol, and therefore it's posel kona, which means both a get be'useh by betin of Yisrael and goyim is kasher. But what the medik is not by goyim, fine. But let the shelo kedin be like what? Be like the shelo kedin of Yisrael. And shelo kedin by Yisrael is what? Pasul keuna. There shouldn't be worse.
Because Minat Torah really is a get. So it doesn't even have Reyach, we said. So, okay. Elaha de Rav Mesharshia Badutahi. You know what? Rav Mesharshia's answer is a shibush. Take Rav Mesharshia's answer, the way he wanted to answer up this question over here of a get me or say baguim, it doesn't make any sense. So what's the reason why? Then a get me'useh is really posel for the kehuna. So it says, kedin bichdin di Yisrael mehlaf. Really, get me'useh by goyim is nothing from the Torah. It's not a get, not legabe the husband for everybody else, not legabe kehuna. Get, we're changing the Mesharshia. Get me'useh, goyim cannot force a get mechlal. Oh, so then why are you telling me if they do it bedin, it's going to have something legabe kehuna? It's because we're going to make a gezerah. Gezerah bedin of Oved Kochavim atu bedin of Yisrael. Because if you're going to tell me that when they do it bedin bagrim, nothing, so you might come to be mekel by a Yisrael, which means you're going to make a mistake. So the Gemara says, kedin bichdin di Yisrael mehlaf. Right? You're going to come to make a mistake between the case of a kifiyah, ayidei sebedin. Which means, even though minat Torah get by a goy, that's me'useh, is nothing. However, the Gachamim said, at least it's going to posel for kehuna, because maybe they're going to come along and say by Yisrael, it's also nothing. So therefore, so we don't make such a gezerah. So we make a gezerah, so therefore we don't have a problem. Good. Also, the Gemara says, "Shelo kedin bechdin Yisrael lo mechlaf." Why don't you make a gezerah also? That what did we say about shelo kedin by a goy?
Nothing.
Because you know why? We're not going to make a mistake between shelo kedin of a goy to kedin of a Yisrael. That's too far already. So therefore, by shelo kedin of a goy, I can put it on the regular law. A goy cannot force a get. It's nothing, not for anybody, not for kehuna. I'm not going to have a problem. But gives it off, I say nothing. I'm going to say, by kedin? No. So therefore, the gets, really, ultimately, the Gemara's answer is, a get me'useh by ovdei kochavim, even kedin is nothing. They cannot force a get. But what? In kedin, we're going to posel it to kehuna, atu kedin shel betin shel Yisrael. But shelo kedin by ovdei kochavim, nothing. Because we're not worried that we might mistake in Shelo Kedin be Akum Atu Kedin of Yisrael. Comes again when it says a story. Abaye Ashkehed Rav Yosef. Okay, Abaye saw Rav Yosef. The Yative Kam Me'ase Agite. He was forcing a guy to give his wife a get. Amar Le, so Abaye tells Rav Yosef, Ve'anan Hidyotot Anan. Which means, we're regular people, we don't have simicha. Vetanya hayar bitafor kol makom shata motze agurayot shel ovdei kochavim. Any place that you have, let's say, a gathering of ovdei kochavim that are judging, afapishi dinehem kidinei Yisrael. Even though, let's say, the goyim courts have the same laws as our laws, yatar hashai lizakek lehem. You know how to go to the goyim courts, secular courts. How do you know? That's your emar. Which means, if that means the front of the 70 hakamim of the Sanhedrin, right? Like the Torah law over here, lifnehem, velo lifnei ovdei kochavim. Davar acher, lifnehem, you have to go in front of rabbis that have simicha, just like the zikinim that Moshe Rabbeinu anointed. Which is just like Moshe Rabbeinu anointed 70 zikinim, 70 elders that had simicha. So it says lifnehem, you have to go for the rabbis that have the same status. Velo lifnehem jotot. So therefore, it seems they were in Bavel, that's why they didn't have simicha. So he was asking them, how could you force a guy to give a wife a get? You're in Bavel, you don't have simicha, so we're not allowed to do this. It seems you can only do it if you had simicha. That was the Gemara's question, yes? Look at that sheet. Kai Ashivim Zikirim Shalu Emulahar Kode Matan Torah. 70 Zikirim that went up to the mountain with Moshe Rabbeinu for Matan Torah. Kedektiv. Ve Moshe Amar Alev. Apa Pishnech Teva Parashazu Lachar Matan Torah. Kode Matan Torah Nemra. Even though it was written after Matan Torah, it happened before Matan Torah. Ve the Mizbeah Ve Alu Aola Ve Shlamim Ubotot Dam Nichnesu. In the blood of the Mizbeah, they made a covenant that they can accept the Torah on themselves. So Moshe Rabbeinu made Semicha on 70 Zikirim, and Torah says, these are the laws that you bring in front of them. Meaning rabbis that are like them. Oh, so the rabbis over here in Babel. So what is it? Abaye sees Rabbi Yosef, he's hitting a guy, forcing him to give a get to his wife. So, what are you doing over here? We don't have the jurisdiction to give a gitin like this in the Babel. We're not Samuch. Amar le, alan shlichutayu ka'avdinan. We are the messengers of the rabbis of Eretz Yisrael, which means they are empowering us. She says, we're not doing it on our own volition. It's as if the rabbis of Israel that have semicha have given us the right to enforce this law in Bavel, which means, just like when it comes to monetary laws, we're also not allowed to judge unless we have semicha, but we judge monetary laws in Bavel. And what do you say? We're judging it with the power that the rabbis of Eretz Yisrael invested in us. So the same thing over here, that she says, Shlichutayu d'bnei Yisrael ka'avdinan. They gave us permission. Midinahave adine mamonot adba'ot. Loads of things like that. Also the Gemara says, Iyache gezelot v'habalot nameh. Which means, we should also... let me just give you the case of hoda'ot and halva'ot. That's mamonot. That's case of a halva'a where the love is kofir. The love comes along and says, there was no loan done over here, so you can judge it. Hoda'ot is a case over here where the malve brings witnesses that the love admitted that he owes the money. So again, you have the two cases. You have hoda'ot and halva'ot. Hoda'a again is what? Halva'ot is where the guy comes along and says what? I don't owe the money. It's kofir. Hoda'a is where the malve brings witnesses that the love was modeh that he owes the money. In those cases, you deal with. So the Gemara says, if you're dealing with it as a messenger, so therefore, yachi gizlot habalot nameh. Why don't you judge theft, and also why don't you judge the laws of mazik? Mm-hmm. Now it seems, those laws you don't judge in Bavel, only in Israel. And why don't you say extension, shiduhim? So the Gemara says, ki abdirat shlichutayu b'miltad d'shkicha. Okay, the rabbis gave us the extension on things that are common. I guess theft, kezilot is not shkiha, habala, damages is not shkiha, lo adinan, shlichutayu. I guess loans and things like that was a common thing. But sheikat kezilot and habalot was not such a common thing, so therefore, not. Okay. Baruch anu alei olam. Beautiful.